Good morning and welcome to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin, today on the show. Well, you know that Lakers offseason and how there's technically a final series going on, and you would think that they couldn't fully dominate or eclipse the NBA finals while they're not playing in it, right? Right? Wrong. So there I was playing, wrapping up basically, Jedi Survivor. And my phone vibrates next to me and I'm like, well, it's the off season and, you know, my guests are already booked for this week. And I guess technically I could start reaching out to people for next week, or whatever. I don't know what this would be going on for. And I just ignore it. I ignored the vibrate that was clearly like a Twitter vibration. So I was like, it's nothing is going on Twitter. I hadn't sent the tweet that really pissed people off, so there's no point in really looking at the thing. And then it vibrates again. And again. And again and again and again and again. It just starts going off. And it's like all these people, messaging, what is going on? What? And I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on. I scrolled back up to the top, and lo and behold, there's Shams Charania with one of the dumber offseason stories that I can really recall. But here's what he tweets out. Sources: Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James in attempts to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving is a free agent this offseason. Okay. I guess we're having one of those days, huh? And we proceeded to have one of those days. We would get a follow-up report there from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. We had one of the funniest, I think, moment was him tweeting out that the Dallas Mavericks were interested in trading for LeBron back at last offseason when the Lakers season was really kind of spiraling out of control. The thing is, they couldn't. Legally, they could not trade for LeBron James, and instead of like walking that back and saying like, oh, my bad, sent out bad information, got bad information, he was like, no, they were still interested, they were still having that conversation. It's like, what? Okay. Sure. It kind of snowballs from there, where people are wondering what's going on. Is this a Kyrie leverage play, as he is trying to convince the Dallas Mavericks to give him a full 4-year max contract? Is this LeBron leveraging the Lakers, as we already saw him try to leverage the Lakers back with all of that retirement talk that lasted all of 15 minutes? What the hell is going on? So Harrison and I record a pod, which is on this feed also, so you're going to want to check that out. It's the kind of story that he and I enjoy talking about the most, honestly, because we just get to like hop on there and laugh at the ridiculousness of it all. But still, I'm left wondering what is going on. The reason I mentioned the Jedi Survivor aspect of this at the very top, in preparation for this video game, I've actually gone back and started rewatching the entirety of the Star Wars universe. Movies, video games, TV shows, all of that stuff. And actually what I'm on right now, on top of playing Jedi Survivor, is I'm watching Andor, right? And there's a scene in Andor where one of the kind of lead Empire detectives, right, at the very top, is up there and she is talking to, I think, one of her subordinates or her equals, whatever. And they're starting to notice a bit of a trend in the way that, you know, people are doing, that some people are operating on like the Outer Rim or whatever. And one line that her subordinate says to her in convincing her to look further at this thing, these sequence of events, is, "It's all too random to be random." That really stuck with me, right? And this, again, it's a random Monday, early June. Lakers season is over. Dallas' season has long been over. The finals is split 1-1 heading back to Miami. There is no reason for this kind of rumor or report to make its way out there. and not just make its way out there. Like, this is Shams Charania. You know, I'm not going to besmirch his reporting or whatever, but he will kind of copy and paste some stuff from his sources, right? Same goes for Chris Haynes. But still, they are two of the most informed people in the NBA universe, and you have two of them running with this thing. Really, you know, going out there, putting their name and attaching it to all of this nonsense. And it like, made me wonder, like, why? Like, if essentially the way that information period works, but especially in the NBA, and the, you know, my experience here in the NBA at this point is a lot more than I would like to acknowledge. But essentially, by the time you get a Shams or a Woj or a Haynes or a Stein tweet about it, that means that that information has festered long enough that multiple insiders know about it and fire off their tweet because they know if they don't, somebody else will. And I'm not putting, you know, all of those people in the same class, obviously, and they all do their business differently. But like generally, like that's how this works. That's why it's been so wild that, you know, clearly the John Morant story is out there to be reported on, and we're just not. Like, we're just going to let the NBA, like, hold on to that information. Same went for Andrew Wiggins back when he was away from the team for as long as he was. The Warriors are one of the most covered, closely covered teams in the NBA. And you had Bob Myers, like, thanking a room of journalists for not doing their jobs. The information that does and does not get out is often very transactional. And in this case, this was a situation where it's like, this is what you're trading for here? All right, I guess we'll see where this goes. And to have it then confirmed by another high-level insider, it is too random to be completely random. And so I guess what I'm going to try to do here is concisely sum up how everything went down, what I know about it, and what I would take away from it moving forward. So we get the initial reporting on it, and we get the initial response to the reporting on it. And from there, it just kind of becomes a waiting game, right? Who else is going to pick it up? What else is going to go down here? And really interestingly, ESPN doesn't touch it until Dave McMenamin later goes on ESPN Radio and completely trashes the story, right? Jovan Buha, also of The Athletic, interestingly, threw a lot of cold water on this story as well. So those are two people whose sourcing either comes from the Lakers and or LeBron. And from that side of things, threw all of the cold water on it. And that was certainly interesting as well, right? And that's part of the story. It seems to me that LeBron, at least publicly from his perspective, wants it known. Whoa, I can't control who texts me, right? And to that extent, you know, it kind of makes sense, right? LeBron right now is just kind of focused on getting better, right? Recovering from whatever ailed him in the postseason with his foot, right? Researching whether or not he is going to get surgery on his foot. Looking ahead to this offseason where, he only has a couple more off seasons left, right? Maybe a few. And he's really focused on maximizing his bites at the apple as they appear to be. So it would kind of make sense that LeBron would want it known. And by the way, for the most part, there have been some slip ups here or there, but for the most part, LeBron has really done as much as he could to limit the amount of nonsense that can be directly traced back to him. There have been the occasional side comment about different executives and stuff like that while he was frustrated with the Lakers during the Russell Westbrook era. And there was certainly plenty of leaking and counter-leaking throughout that era to try to attach blame to that acquisition, whatever. But yeah, for the most part, like, and actually, period, we have not gotten anything from LeBron that has come anywhere close to a trade demand. And even when the noise gets to its loudest, LeBron's camp and his, you know, group of reporters that he trusts all make sure to come out as often as they can to say LeBron is focused on finishing his career with the Lakers. He is, he wants to, you know, Bronny's going to be playing at USC next year, so he wants to be able to watch those games, and he wants to try to play wherever Bronny gets drafted next season. But, like, even that has kind of calmed down, as some of that is kind of, some of that leverage has left Bronny, because, you know, this is kind of good news, he has crept up draft boards, and like, LeBron doesn't want to play in Charlotte or something, right? So, yeah, I not very surprised, but it is noteworthy that, you know, LeBron and or Laker people are like, this is not us. That is that guy over there, right? That's the guy, you know, he's waving sage all over the place. And it's so weird, as he's waving sage, it's actually like those light sticks that, that they wave pilots down on runways and stuff, directing people towards a story that he wants out there. So then the other thing too, as it was kind of explained over the course of the day, and it's not practical. Like, LeBron and Kyrie linking up is just not at all practical right now. We've talked about it here on the show several times, that there just aren't very many, any clean options that make any sense here for the Lakers to bring in Kyrie. And you know, I would imagine the Lakers have voiced that reality to LeBron, and everybody's just kind of moving forward with that understood. Doesn't mean LeBron might not be frustrated, because he clearly wants to play with Kyrie. And Kyrie is looking at it as like, shit, that's my leverage. So he's going to continue to make it known that, like, hey, maybe, just maybe. And that's why this continues to stick around. So, like, that is all, to me, like, the most realistic explanation for yesterday's events. Now, I do think, though, that there are reasons to read a little further, because, again, and this might just be me in June being bored because the Lakers aren't playing anymore, but it does feel a little too random to be completely random. So let's look at LeBron's offseason thus far, even with all of what I said notwithstanding. But LeBron's offseason starts by minutes after the game that ended his season. He goes on there and he says, I don't know if I'm going to continue playing, right? Considering retirement. Confirms to Dave McMenamin that he's considering retirement. And, you know, obviously that makes everybody's wheels spin. George Sedano and I came on here and said, hey, this feels kind of just like somebody who had a shitty day at work, lashing out and all of that. But in the back of your minds, you also, because it's LeBron, have to take into account he's trying to leverage his interest in playing next year to get him a roster that gives him a better chance at winning a championship, right? And both of those things can be true at the same time, by the way. Like, it could be, you know, a couple slices of the pie, and one might be more true than the other, but there can be truth to both of those things at the same time. And the fact that we now get this, and again, to be absolutely clear, people close to LeBron are saying that, and reporters who are closer to LeBron are saying that this was not in any way LeBron. And I, again, lean more towards believing that, but this is now the second kind of weird thing that has come up that, again, and we've talked about this before too, LeBron sees the game a certain way. Superstars in the NBA see the game a certain way. Superstars want superstars, period. They don't have the idea of them, like, going through NBA.com's lineup data to figure out who they should keep around and shouldn't keep around. That's not how this works. they tend to say, yeah, give me the most talented person. Give me that talent, and the talent is eventually going to win out. And, you know, for the most part, over the course of the last era of the NBA, I would say that's been a fairly tried and true path forward. But as superstars have paired up that have actually fit together, and as these teams have, you know, grown, and these executives have grown up in a league that has to counterbalance that superstar talent with fit and culture and stuff like that, the talent on its own just isn't enough. But still, those stars, LeBron chief among them, I think, don't see it that way. They see it as, he probably sees this as, all right, we got that far with the role players. Let's see how far we can get with Kyrie. And again, he and the Lakers, I would imagine, and I'm going to look further into this, but I would imagine he and the Lakers have had a conversation about like the likelihood that they could bring Kyrie in. And I would imagine the Lakers have probably told him it's not very likely. And yet, you know, that isn't going to stop him from trying to make happen his intended endpoint here. So yeah, like this continuing to be a story, it might continue to be a story. It might just be a story still, because, you know, media is an industry. It's not a non-profit organizations aren't doing all of this reporting and stuff. And everybody knows that if you put LeBron, Kyrie, Lakers trade rumors in the headline or in your hyperlink or in your tweet, that it is going to do pretty well. But also, I think there's a chance that this is still remaining a story because the interested parties still want to play together. And until they cannot play together, or until one party is willing to do something that would make playing together more possible, right? Kyrie playing for the you know, taxpayer mid-level, or LeBron asking for a buyout, foregoing the second year of his 2-year, $96 million deal, and playing for Dallas on, you know, on the minimum or whatever. Neither of those things are happening. Until either of those things, though, come to pass, this is still going to be like, they are still going to look at this and say, like, gosh, if only. And them thinking if only is, you know, going to be enough for reporters who want the clicks that come with them wondering those things. It's going to keep that story alive. So maybe it's Kyrie showing Dallas what he's worth and trying to convince them to give him a full 4-year max, with the notion attached to him that he could get some superstar, if it isn't LeBron, but somebody else, right, to play with Luka. Maybe this is him leveraging the Lakers into, you know, pushing harder to sign and trade for him because he will make their life kind of miserable from where he can by keeping this stupid story alive. Maybe this is LeBron kind of pressuring the Lakers into, hey, if it isn't Kyrie, and I would prefer Kyrie, but if it isn't Kyrie, what can we do here to, you know, improve a team that got swept in the Western Conference Finals? Or this is all just a bunch of nonsense and it's June and we need something to talk about. I would imagine it's a combination of all of those things. So though, if you want a less serious kind of retelling of the day's events, I urge you to check out the podcast that Harrison and I recorded yesterday while it was all going on. We had a good time. We laughed at it. I also kind of entertained the notion of trading LeBron and made the case for like why maybe, just maybe, it might make some sense. Yeah, you're going to want to check that out. So do that. And while you do that, I will probably be recording with today's guest, who I'm looking forward to talking to. And that will be up same usual time. And yeah, so until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. Saying have a good one, everybody.